Cass and KMOX, 2 minutes past 4 p.m. Time to talk to our pal Bernie Miklas, the host of The Bernie Show, which you can find on YouTube or now on Odyssey.com. I was just talking to Steve Moore 5 minutes ago, said a lot of people are signing up for that. You can also read Bernie at Scoops with Danny Mac. He joined us now. Bernie, good to talk to you again, my friend.
Dave Glover, great to be on your show. Thank you, man.
So I'm one of those creative nerds that's sort of fascinated by the process. I loved the old actor studio. I loved hearing how Mike Myers wrote his stuff for SNL. I know how I do what I do. I have no idea how you do what you do. Let's spend a couple minutes before we jump into the Cardinals. How do you go from idea to either on paper or on video?
I'm constantly keeping a list. I'll use my smartphone and go to the notes program. And if I'm watching a game or reading something or just being made aware of something, I just type out notes, a lot of notes, and like put files together on the fly. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in other words, like check this out, think about this, research this, find out more about this. And then as I think about that, and also try to keep in touch with what fans are thinking, so I can address what they want to know. It all just sort of comes together. I mean, I've been doing it a long time, and you know, I've been fortunate to develop those kind of instincts through experience that lead me in the right direction most of the time anyway.
Bernie, how much going back, because you haven't always been Bernie Miklas. At some point, you were just some young punk Bernie Miklas and no one knew. How much of your establishing relationships and mutual trust with ownership, front office and players, how much of that was intentional from the very beginning, and how much did you kind of get lucky?
Well, I came to St. Louis as a beat writer and for the Post-Dispatch covering football. And also I was fortunate to work for KMOX in those days. So people, they couldn't help but know, like, well, who was this guy with the weird last name? What is that last name? I don't even know how to say it, that kind of thing. But, you know, you hit the ground, you get established, you slowly build relationships. And after a while, you know, you're on the beat and you've put in the time, you've put in the FaceTime and the work and everything else. And then people know who you are and, you know, they decide whether they, you know, trust you or not. And, you know, generally speaking, I've had very trusting relationships, but every now and then there's some rancor, you know, but that's part of the game too. But it's a process. It's a long process.
So I'm going to steal something from Wheeler as he's sitting right here, because he said something really smart a couple hours ago. At least I thought it was smart. I was asking, how do you get into this situation that we are with the Cardinals? And Wheeler was kind of exasperated because I kept asking him the same question over and over. He said, well, you know what? I think that you do the same thing for about 20 years because it works, and then it stops working as well. And rather than switching it up, you keep doing it for about 5 or 6 years too long.
Well, that's exactly right. My friend Wheels, no surprises, right on point there. And it really kind of started when they, you know, they lost their way in terms of drafting and developing pitching, because that was always their bedrock. And then it's even happened now with drafting and developing young hitters. I mean, so many of these guys have stalled. Once they get to the major leagues, they have some success, and then they just kind of sputter, and they, you know, they, so many of them have left elsewhere and done better. So there's a lot of things fundamentally wrong. And I think more than anything, as Kevin Wheeler alluded to, the Cardinals had a very successful model for a long time, but you show me or tell me the name of a incredibly successful business in the corporate world, for example, that doesn't see almost this urgent need to evolve over time. You can never stay the same. The competition is too great. You can't ease up. You have to be looking for more ways, better ways to improve. Unfortunately, I think the Cardinals got lost with that. I think they assumed that their model would always be as effective as it had been for such a long time.
What I'm always stunned at, Bernie, and I bring this up, I think I don't know that I have as many criticisms as a lot of fans would like me to have. Like, people get mad about the spending. I don't worry about that. That's the least of my concerns at the moment. What I've been most worried about these last couple of years in particular is either an unwillingness or inability, and it could be either or maybe a combination of the two, to adapt and adjust on the fly. Because I don't think the plan this year coming in was wrong. Because if Arenado and Goldschmidt hit, I don't think we're having a lot of these conversations. But what you do when things go wrong and how do you recover from that and how do you change on the fly is largely what modern baseball is. And I feel like that right there is probably, it's not the only issue, but it's at the core of why you're falling behind, like Milwaukee.
Well, yeah, and Milwaukee, but to your point about the money, I mean, I think I mentioned this last time I was on with Dave Glover and you, that, you know, the Cubs and the Cardinals ought to be embarrassed. I mean, they've been chasing Milwaukee now for a few years, and Milwaukee spends so much less money, it's almost laughable, but yet they kick the backsides of these two teams that have many more financial resources. So I don't know what it is. You know, sometimes it is kind of bad luck. I mean, the team could not have anticipated possibly that Arenado especially, but also Goldie, you know, would crash this way, right? Not 2 years after they were 1-3 in the MVP vote. But a lot of these issues have been brewing for a long time, and I think they ignored them, or at least they failed to have the proper aggressiveness about, you know, getting things adjusted and fixed. And we're seeing it with, you know, young hitters. Like, why are all these guys going bad? I don't understand it. We saw Dylan Carlson in 2021. We saw Lars Nootbaar in, you know, 21, 22, part of 23. We saw Tyler O'Neill in 2021. We saw Jordan Walker last year, and I'm just naming a few. What happens when these guys who clearly are talented, but they run into problems as young hitters do at the major league level, and the Cardinals can't find a way to get them on track? I don't understand that. Is it the hitting coach? Is it what they're teaching? Is there some kind of a coldness there where the communication isn't what it should be? To me, that's one of the ongoing mysteries why so many guys here lose their way and then have to go elsewhere where they become really good.
We had Joe Buck on around the All-Star break, who said that it's great that you're moving these pawns around in the Bishops, but if Arenado and Goldschmidt aren't Arenado and Goldschmidt, it's not going to make enough difference to get into the series. And he was prescient about that. My question to you guys is this. If this is Arenado and Goldschmidt, and more Arenado, because Goldschmidt may not even be here next year.
Yeah, he's a free agent, yeah.
But if this is who they are now, how screwed are the Cardinals? Even going into next
year. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I think they're in big trouble, and I think Wheels would agree with this. They're in big trouble unless all of a sudden, you know, you go into 2025 and Gorman, like, finally finds it, right, and he keeps it. Walker becomes really, really good again, and we can name a few other. Nootbaar finally lives up to his potential because we know he's got a lot of all-purpose skill. They would need a huge, huge change in the trajectory of those young careers. And I also think that they'll have to maybe throw some money around on free agency. But here's the thing. The Cardinals have been such a storied franchise for a long, long time. I wonder whether they have the allure right now. I wonder if they have the allure to attract free agents unless the Cardinals are willing to outpay other teams interested in the same hitters.
Yeah, I think that part of that, too, is, you know, are they willing, and they haven't been really, to play at the top end of the market. I mean,
right,
you know, that's been a big reluctance. Is like Sonny Gray is not the top end of the market. Sonny Gray is probably AAV, he is, but in terms of length of deal, he's not. So like Garrett Cole's going to get 8 years or 10 years. Corbin Burns this offseason, I would guess Bernie would get what, 6 to 8 on the low end. If somebody gets crazy, maybe 10, but probably in that 6 to 8 range. That's the range they don't like to play in. They did that with the Arenado trade, but they also got money kicked in from the Rockies, and it didn't cost them much in terms of players. And I don't know where that path is if you're going into the future needing to do that, because a lot of the best free agents aren't even hitting free agency at this point. A lot of them sign before they get there.
No, I agree. And like the idea, like, you know, Juan Soto, for example, is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's out there.
there's no way.
But
he'll be able to get whatever he wants. There's
be a $600 million player. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. So, yeah, they're kind of stuck. And I don't know how they get out of it. I don't know what the future holds as far as who's going to be running things. Wheels and Dave, all, just even this Jordan Walker situation is bizarre. I mean, you know, you call him up and you turn him into a platoon hitter. And I heard John Mozeliak on with Tom Ackerman yesterday on Camo X. And it was pretty obvious. Mo didn't seem real pleased with the fact that Walker's not playing every day. But so where was the disconnect? I mean, doesn't the manager know? Like, one thing about Mo, he's been very consistent about this. You don't bring young guys to the majors unless they are going to play regularly. He's always been consistent about that. But so obviously, Ali Marmol couldn't claim like, I didn't know what Mo expected. Oh, I don't know anything about that. This is what I think is best. There's a disconnect there that just makes me scratch my head, quite frankly. I don't, as I watch the Cardinals, I get exasperated because there's so many things I just don't understand, you know?
Yep. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's the frustration is not understanding the thought process. If you understand a method and a methodology, even if it's not working, you can at least say, all right, I know what they're doing. This is why. And what I find fascinating, Bernie, especially when it comes to Jordan Walker, and you talked about it with some of these other outfielders, and I haven't really thought it out, but in thinking through it while you were talking, one of the key things is, especially these last 2 years with Walker, they haven't stayed patient with the young player to let him play through the problems at the major league level because they were in such a bad spot in the standings early in the year. That never used to be the case. And Derek Gould wrote about this today, and others have mentioned it too, but the Brewers have Jackson Chourio, who's a rookie right fielder. They signed him to the biggest contract ever for a player that had never reached the major leagues before this year, so they were going to bring him up. The first 2 months, he was awful. He played almost every day, sub-600 OPS. He was awful, but they haven't stopped playing him. They stuck with him, and he's been one of the best hitters in the National League for 2 months. But they had that luxury because they weren't chasing the standings. They were right in first place, and the Cardinals have been in the opposite place the last 2 years.
I totally agree with you, and it's a good theory. It's a sound theory. And I don't know. I just wonder whether, you know, when they move forward, are they gonna just have to maybe be more ambitious about bringing in fresh voices, fresh ideas, fresh techniques. I'm talking about coaches, but it goes beyond that. But I mean, specifically with this issue about fixing hitters or knowing how to handle hitters that are inevitably going to run into problems as far as like going into slumps, getting cold, whatever. It just seems to me there's got to be some new voices and new techniques and new ways to go about this. I think the Cardinals, you know, tend to just kind of lock in on, well, this is our approach. And to your point that you made earlier, they don't adjust. And when you have the same people in place and the same thing happens over and over again, it's not a matter of them adjusting. Frankly, candidly, it's a matter of you going out and getting new people.
You know, let me give you a weird analogy, but I think you guys will understand this. So you watch baseball for pleasure. You watch it because it's fun, because it's entertainment, yeah. It's a distraction. I find myself watching Cardinals baseball now, feeling the way I did about watching Joe Biden about 3 weeks ago. Like, you know, when we knew that he was compromised and we knew that he'd lost his fastball and you were just pulling for him just to not say something stupid or to freeze up. And you had a real lack of confidence with Mr. Biden. And it's all changed now. Thank God. Good. But that's how I feel watching the Cardinals. I feel like the margin for error is so tiny, and I feel like we have no swagger at all.
I think that's right on, man. There's no doubt about it. They have lost their confidence. They're a team organizationally from Mo on down. They used to just to believe in themselves to the point where everything would fall into place. What they did would fall into place. But then all of a sudden it's just not the same anymore. And it's like, what do we do? And then that leads into more mistakes. It leads into more deflation of confidence. It's a team that is like easily kind of brought down emotionally when they go through hard times. They don't fight through it very well. And I think you're spot on. And I think that is another reason why I think that they have got Mr. DeWitt's going to have to take a really, really hard look at not just rearranging some furniture, metaphorically speaking. We're talking about serious, serious changes in the organization, because if not, you're just going to repeat this cycle over and over again.
That is great, Bernie Miklas. You can hear Bernie on The Bernie Show on YouTube and at Odyssey.com and read him at Scoops with Danny Mac. Bernie, it's a pleasure as always, my friend.
Dave, until next time, it was a pleasure on my end. Take
if your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Care, man.
So what do you think about this? There are several schools that are allowing kids to bring their dogs to school, like grade school children, junior high kids, as anxiety dogs. And you have to have a doctor's note. But in one class, eight different kids had a doctor's note. So you're trying to teach 12-year-olds with eight dogs in the classroom, which they're saying is untenable. The teachers hate it. We want to accommodate these kids. We understand it's a real thing. We know it's not made up. But we can't teach and have a bunch of dogs because these are kids and these are dogs. Thoughts?
Yes. I don't want to sound cruel. Grow up. Grow up. You can't bring your puppy to school. We all want to have, I wish my cat was here right now, jumping around the studio and knocking stuff over. It'd be cute. It'd be great. We'd all love it. You can't bring your dog to school. Leave your dog at home.
Yeah. So I think I believe in this, in the real benefits of support animals.
Lib.
No, I do. But again, everything with common sense limitations and structural
common
possibilities,
sense
right?
Common like sense limitations. Great
so
way
like
to put
when
it.
when you're looking at a school setting, it is almost impossible to manage all of that because those dogs are going to need to go out. Those dogs should. I don't know if they're trained. I don't say like a support animal, like it, you know, like they're trained to do a job, right? Like ones that have certifications. But an emotional support animal may not have that. They may just be your pet. Mm-hmm. So how well trained is your pet? Not just in terms of being house trained, but how do they interact with other dogs? How do they interact with other people? Are they quiet? Are they loud? And if it's just your pet dog, that's a different thing than a service animal. Service animals, I would have a lot less of an issue with. They've gone through training and certification, and there's more to it. And I'm not saying never, but you might have to find a different way to do it. You know, I mean, there are alternatives to just going to regular school all the time. I'm not saying they're easy or cheap or whatever, but it can't be something that disrupts everyone else is what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a support animal on a flight, I don't care. It's not going to disrupt me. It's not going to bother me. And even if it barks, it's one time for 2 hours. It's not like every day at school where kids need to learn. We got to make sure we're not stepping on other kids because some want to have the extra support.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.